We'll go ahead and start it off by saying, I am Laith Harlow.
I am Tristan Harlow.
And this is Relative Nonsense. Meow, meow, meow. Beow, 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 beow. All them things. Oh, man. Well, it's glad to be back in front of you again. You know, we're busy individuals anyways. You're a little more busy than me, but I'm starting to ramp up my busyness. Work's about to get started again. Things are starting to pop off again. So we do not talk near as much, which is like a cool thing. Right, it is cool, but then we hop in here, and now I just haven't said shit. I almost feel like you're a stranger. You know what I mean? So like,
I don't even know who you are.
Right. All right. So thank all you guys for coming back yet again. It is a beautiful day, man. What a start to fall. We are in Florida now. We in the northern of Florida's, but we are still in Florida. And I gotta tell you, every morning, we've been waking up and it's been 62 degrees. And, you know, that just kind of makes me think about this podcast, baby. Everything is cool as the other side of the motherfucking pillow. And that's because of everybody listening and because of us keep having the time to come back and do this. So thank you, Tristan, for coming back for another beautiful episode and a beautiful day and a beautiful Tuesday where we do the big things. How have you been?
Good. Good. Yeah. Like I said, been busy. Or like you said, I should say, busy. Yeah. Living life, man.
Living life. Me too. I will say I've been living life, but, and we talked about this a little bit for the 3 minutes we saw each other before we came in here and started recording, but this week was one of them weeks, baby. I guess we'll go ahead with the new segment, and talk about this for our weekly update or what we've been doing. So this week, I've been living like no other. I say that last week. Little birthday celebration, of course. You know, not too much. I'm old, so it ain't like, we partied. No, we didn't do any of that, but we did eat out a lot. I've been doing the whole workout thing, so we did eat out, kind of take a step back from that. Still worked out, just not as hard. And this week, we got back at it. So before we went, before we got to my birthday, what we were planning on doing was a little bit of death. And what I mean by that is we were going to do a 400% day. 400% day. What the fuck is that? A 400% day. What that is let's take it for example. My watch, my active calories I'm supposed to burn a day is 800 calories. So about a 30 to 45 minute workout of me running consistently or doing a HIIT workout, high interval training, anything like that. And I should burn about 800 active calories. So what we want to do is 400 times what our daily goal is. Mine was 800, 8 times 4. 3,200 is what we had to burn. So we did that and it was awesome. The furthest we had ran before this was a little over 3 miles, which is a 5K. So we started off our day. We dropped the babies off, got right back here, hopped out the truck and started jogging. And we did a 10K, first 10K we had ever done. So did that and you get back, you think you did a 10K, your day's done. Ha ha, try again. That took us an hour, which is 60 minutes. And yesterday I worked out 173. Needless to say, there's a body that's here. I don't know how, but half the soul is gone.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun, to be honest with you.
It was rough. It was fun, though. I will say it was fun. It was
for who?
For my brain. I didn't think I could do it. Like, before you do it, I've been working out for a while, so I have this feeling of like, ain't going to be shit. I got it. And then right before it happens, you're like, oh, man, I really don't know if I got this. And then you start, you got all the confidence, you get done with that first hour and 20 minutes straight of working out nonstop, it's 10 o'clock, and you realize, holy shit, if I did this 2 more times, then I'd be at my goal. And now it becomes more than your body, because your body's already quit. Now it's your mind. Can you push through to get it done, or do you not?
I guess I can see that. I just don't care. You know what I'm
saying? I don't want to test myself in that way. I don't know. Yeah, doesn't matter.
I'll sharp my mind. Give me some math or something. You know what I
mean? Yeah, let me sit down, solve a problem.
Let me get on this computer.
I will beat you up here. I do like that.
Division up in this motherfucker. I'll show you what I got.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you ran real far? What's 7 times 9, motherfucker?
Yeah.
I do like that. I like the way you're thinking.
Nah, I need to start working out, man.
You have been. You started.
Yeah. Oh, Goddamn dad bod. That shit is rough, dude.
Hey, man, that's the new fad, though. So I understand, you know, repping for the dad bod. The problem was I had the dad bod for a while and I was like, oh, this ain't bad. And then I still loved food just as much. So the dad bod turned into the Jabba the Hutt bod. I'm back to dad bodish. We getting back there. But, you know, now it's like, why stop here? Let's take it all the way and keep it where it's at. That's just my mentality.
I mean, I would say so like, dad bod is easy maintenance. Like, at least for my body type. I could kind of eat what I want to, do what I want to. And I don't really, there's not a lot of maintenance. Like, I will get a little bit bigger here and there. You know, so I'm not right. saying, like, I'm going to stay at this forever and do whatever the fuck I want. No, but, like, if I do my typical day, I kind of stay around this.
Yeah, maintenance.
Right, like, regular maintenance. But, like, if I have to go work out and eat healthy and all that, yeah, I could probably, like, I think it'd be cool as shit to have a six-pack. And I'll tell you what, if I ever get to six-pack or eight-pack or whatever, I'll throw every fucking shirt I got away.
Shirt. I'm throwing every piece of clothing. I ain't even wearing socks anymore.
Yeah, birthday suit only. You're going to see everything I got. I can't do that. I'm a grower, so. What the?
I don't even care. Everything else is going to be looking great, so what does that matter? What did they used to, like a nudist colony or something like that? Isn't that what they used to do back in the 70s? Oh, yeah.
I think they still got them today, dude. Do they? Well, I mean, they got like nude beaches, and I'm like, every now and then on TikTok, I see like, come to our resort, and it's a nudist resort thing.
Alrighty then.
I mean, I don't see the whole. Oh, cruises. You know, I cruise a lot. They got nudist cruises.
That's crazy.
Swear to God, it'll be the whole boat. They'll buy a sailing, and you got to get on the boat with clothes. But once you get on the boat, you good to take the clothes off. And like the question I have to ask myself is, how well do they clean that some bitch?
Right. Are you talking about the boat?
The boat, yeah. Like, you get all these naked motherfuckers off. How well are you actually cleaning these chairs?
You're thinking about how well they clean these, the boat. I'm thinking about how well they clean these, everything else. Because I understand, like, nude, that's cool, that's fun. But the main part about a cruise for me that's fun, because I'm fat, we just determined that, right, is food. I don't need your pube hairs all up in my celery and all up in the fried chicken and you know,
well, yeah, that's mashed what I'm potatoes. Saying, bro. How well, like, you got to top to bottom, burn it all and restart. In my
life. Like, bro,
you ever get swamp ass, bro?
Look, right.
That's what I'm saying. I sit down to this fabric seat. My ball sweats in that seat if I ain't going
to
close
them. When's some of your favorite times to eat? Because, you know, there's, like, in the morning, things like that. But, like, some of my favorite times to eat, like, after now? Activities. Yeah, when I'm breathing. Yeah. My favorite times to eat after activities, like, when I get done running, right?
Yeah.
Or when it's a late night and you get done doing the other things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's when you get hungry. So, you imagine this is when a lot of people are going to come up to the buffets like usual. And if you allow this to be nudist, you just got to put underwear on before you come to the buffet, period. Because if not, like, you got this sweaty ass just slinging around, sweat all over the pizza. Nah, we can't. There's a line where I draw. So, hey, I get it. You know, the nudist thing is cool. It's fine. It's funny, you know? But at the end of the day, as much as I'm joking around about the shit, keep your sweaty ass off the buffet.
Yeah, like I said, I ain't one for being proud of my birthday suit. Just, I'm not saying I'm like shy, but I ain't walking in the middle of Walmart stark ass naked. I can't do that. That's weird. You know what I'm saying? But,
well, and the intention of working out is not so that I look better in my birthday suit. I'm hoping that's a byproduct of it. But really, what it is just mentality, man. Like, for me personally, I think when I do things in life and working out is a big portion of it, I accomplish things better throughout the day because mentally in my brain, I've already beat something. So that's just kind of my way of keeping going and moving on. You know, it's not one of the things where it's like, man, I'm fat, I got to get skinny. Yeah, that's part of it. And that helps to motivate you to get there. But I promise, I don't care how fat you are, 30 days of doing the same thing, the fatness won't matter anymore. You won't see it move enough to keep going. It's got to be other things. And for me, it was my mentality. It started to get more positive and me see the brighter side. I always have, just like even more so. And that excited me to be able to go, ooh, I can keep expanding my mind and being more happy and thinking more crazy shit. Maybe, you know, maybe I should go back to not working out as much because I am a little more psycho when I work out. But I think psycho for the right ways too, right? Like, you've got more energy, so you move around more and you ha ha ha, bounce, bounce, move, ha ha. And I don't know if you ever seen a 350-pound man just touch his ass to the floor while he's dancing, but this guy can do it if I'm working out. If not, my back's hurting at all times. I'm curled up in a chair, you know what I mean? Which is fun because you don't have to do anything. It's funny, I put this on my Snapchat yesterday. T, we were having a conversation. I said, you know what? Nothing grows in comfort. She was thinking about it. She was like, bullshit. My stomach grows in comfort. Yeah. And I said, damn, you got me. You know, like, you are right. Like, that's what grows in comfort. So that's what I want. I just want to push uncomfortability for myself because I tend to do better things and think better when I do.
Yeah, no. You know, like, around the office, we have a saying that uncomfortability breeds success.
Amen.
If you're not challenging yourself every day, you're falling behind. But I will say, there's a lot more ways to challenge yourself other than like working out.
Now,
like,
I agree more.
You have your way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it's bad or whatever. Like, obviously, I'm uncomfortable with it or else I do it every fucking day. You know what I'm saying? But like, normally we see is like, you scared to talk in front of people? Talk in front of people. Host a call, host a meeting, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's just get out of your comfort zone to build yourself up, to add value.
It makes you better.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You're completely right. You do not need just working out to be able to be successful or be able to grow, right? I think that working out, I would argue, is one of the best ways to do so because, yes, it is physically demanding and some people can't do it, but for the people that can, it unlocks more than just your mind. Like I said, because a byproduct of working out is your body too. So yes, it's working on your mind, but it's also working on your body. And working on your mind and your body at the same time, I don't care what anybody says, it gives you more confidence. Now, you can use it the wrong way and you can use it as an arrogant asshole, which I've done in the past too.
That'd be me.
Right. But it does give you more confidence. And if you use it the right way, it can help in that aspect too. It only because psychologically, when you look at yourself in a mirror and you look better, then automatically you feel better too. Like, it's just a thing. It happens. So I think that it is one of the best ways to sharpen the mind just because of all of the byproducts that it can positively give you as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, like I said, I ain't say it was bad or anything like that. I do agree it does help. But in the same sense, I agree. I think that even if you don't work out, you can still achieve something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not here to say, hey, anybody who doesn't work out, who eats bad, you're a fat piece of shit. You won't amount to nothing. Your mama don't like you. Your daddy don't like you. I'm not here to say that. But if I did, it'd be right here like this lot. No,
completely. I ain't saying that, but you know what I am saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying you close if you don't. That's it. Yeah. No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you can get the courage and the strength, and it's tough, man, because like I said, I've been the 420-pound individual. I've also been the 230-pound individual. And let me tell you something. It is a lot harder to be 230 pounds at all times than it is to be 420 in the sense of how you have to eat and how much you have to work out, right? That's kind of what we're talking about is working out. So it's a lot harder to do that than it is to be 420 pounds. But what I have found for me personally is it's a lot harder to do everything else at 420 pounds. The thing that's harder to do at 230 pounds is to eat and to work out every day, right? It's much easier to not do that and to be 420 pounds and to eat what I want because I'm not the person, I'm not a middler as far as like, I can't go to a restaurant and be like, well, man, I know I haven't worked out today, so I'm going to do the three-piece chicken tenders with a small fry and a water. And instead, no, I'm still going to do, like, I'm still always as hungry and my eyes are still as big, so I'm going to do the six-piece with the large fries and, oh, let me get the mozzarella sticks. Oh, are those fried bagels? And 10 ranches, please. Thank you. Oh, three Cokes and what's for dessert, right? Like, that's who I am. So if I'm going to do that, which I know I am no matter what, I'm going to get back to that 420 pounds unless I'm being strict there. So it's easier on the one side to be 420 pounds. But once I'm 420 pounds, you know, my marriage life isn't as good. I can't take a shower without being tired. My back hurts at all times. I don't move as good. I'm not as confident, so I don't speak as much confidence. You know, I'd rather not hang out with my family. I don't want to go on that float because, you know, I got to take my shirt off and look fat, so I'm just going to stay home. And so it affects a lot more for me personally, but not for everybody.
Yeah, I will say, like, I remember back to single life, I would say I cared a lot more about image. Now I've been married for like some time.
Some time. Hey, listen, it's not that he doesn't know how long he's been married. It's that, well, he doesn't know how long he's been married.
No. You know, I've been married for like 6 or 7 years, I think.
Right.
But like, honestly, I just don't care anymore. Like the, like you made the comment about like taking your shirt off at like a pool or something. Like that. I used to be like, nah, I ain't swimming. I don't even want to swim. I don't like to swim. It ain't because I don't like to swim. It's fucking, I don't want to take my shirt off. I was fat. I was a fat ass. You know what I mean?
Right.
But now I'm married with kids. It's like, who the fuck am I trying to impress? I don't care. I'll whip this belly out any damn where.
I like that. I respect that. I'm still not. Once again, and I think it's because you as an individual, right? You can just go eat the 3 chicken tenders and the small fry and get the water because you know that you're not working out as much. Like, that's just what you do. Me, I want more and more and more and more as far as food. You know, I'm a glutton, I guess. So I try not to.
Yeah, you indulge a lot more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I try not to give into that. And by being strict on myself and continuing to wake up and decide to get out and get exercise, and it gives me positivity. And not only that, like, my mind automatically, because of working out, I think about eating healthier foods. I don't want the French fries as much as I want the rice. I don't want the fried chicken as much as I want the grilled chicken, because I know, like, my body just knows, like, oh, this is what I'm in wanting. So that's what I get the craving for.
Yeah. I will say, like, I don't know. I've always been weird about food. Like, I'm not saying I eat healthy whatsoever, because I definitely don't. I'm like the pickiest eater you'll ever see there. I mean, I don't eat anything that I would consider healthy. But I also don't eat a lot of shit that's, like, super unhealthy.
Correct. I mean, like, you don't like cakes and stuff like that.
No, I don't like cake. I don't like a lot of sweets. I will not eat ranch or mayonnaise or anything like that. It's nasty as shit to me. You know what I mean? So, like, sour cream, gross.
And guess what? Like, it's people who are like, oh, my God, that's so good. It is so good. But guess what? It's also so bad for you. So, it's right, not a horrible thing.
So, yeah. I mean, I do eat a lot of fried foods and stuff like that. But I have no idea where the fuck I was going with this now.
I mean, there's the downfall. And I think what it is just, like, you're a very picky eater, so you're not going to lose the weight by deciding you're going to diet and change everything you do and, like,
no,
turn into a vegetarian. But, you know, I'm not either.
Oh, that's what I was going, like, the relationship with food. I was someone like, I'm a picky eater or whatever. But, like, honestly, like, I remember most time, like, I'll snack or eat if I'm bored. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm at the house, I ain't got nothing going on. I'm like, what are them chips doing? You know what I mean? But I remember I got a buddy. He would always come over and help me. You know, I like working on cars, shit like that. We were in the middle of a motor swap one time. I was like, hey, you want to come over and help me? You know, we're going to swap out this motor. He's like, yeah, man, cool. So we started first thing in the morning. You know, motor swap's pretty in depth.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it in a day. You know what I mean? It was fine. We got it done in a day. But I realized, like, if I'm doing something, I don't ever think about food. I don't get hungry. No, if I'm busy, if my mind is occupied doing something, it never crossed my mind. Well, we started in the morning to finish that night. And, we went out to dinner with our wives or whatever. You know, that's just kind of what we do.
It's the thing.
Yeah, they hang out. They make plans while we're doing stuff. So we were at dinner, and he's, like, chowing down. He's starving. And his wife's like, "What? What's going on?
Are you okay?
Yeah. And he goes, he didn't feed me today. And I was like, shit, bro, my bad. I never realized that it was even a fact of you might be hungry, because I know I'm not. It never crossed my mind. You know what I mean?
Right. And he thinks it's rude to ask for food. It's not even crossing your mind. Then in that instant, you're like, oh, man, I am an asshole for doing that. I didn't even think about this.
Nah, like, that's it. It doesn't even cross. It's not like I'm like, ah, I'm fucking hungry, I'll worry about it later. No, it just never pops in there.
But you know what? That's a good thing, too, because that means your relationship with food. Like I said, I don't think I have a good relationship with food. That's why I'm gluttonous with it. Right. Like, because food makes me happy. You know what I mean? For some people, food is like, oh, yeah, I love the taste of food, but I don't care about food. Right, I care about it. Like, I think about it. I'd be like, ooh, it's my birthday. I want to go here, and I want to go here, and I want to go here. That's just who I am. So I know that most of the time I need to be very strict, because I do allow myself, you know, the finer things in life when it comes to food. I'm also, you know, to my credit, thankfully, not picky at all. So I'll eat a range of things. You don't want to go to 20 different restaurants. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm cool with all of them. There's one thing from every one that I love.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I mean, like you were saying, like, your birthday and everything. I remember my birthday had recently passed, and I'm like, what, you know, what you want for your birthday dinner? I was like, fuck, I don't know. And, like, honestly, it's not like I'm wanting or craving anything. So I'll just list out shit that I like. You know, usually it's stuff that we don't normally have. Like, I think we're doing a fish fry. So we don't normally, like, fry fish, but I do like fried fish. I'm like, well, we ain't had that in a while. I guess we'll do that.
Yeah.
But it's not like, oh, I've been craving this forever. Now, every once in a while, I will get a hankering for something.
Right.
But it's like, I can eat one or two of them and be fine.
You know? See, and I'm a little bit different too, because just like you said, like, we ain't done this in a while. Let's do a fish fry. So I do that, and then we do the fish fry, and then the next day I'd be like, oh, you know what else we didn't do? We didn't do this for a while, so then we got to do that. Then we got to do that. Then we got to do that. And if you're not careful with that slippery slope, that and that and that turns into it was just supposed to be a week, and now it's been a year, and now you're 100 pounds heavier, right? Because here's the thing about losing a bunch of weight and getting in shape. If you decide to just completely stop one day, you'll find out how quickly you can bounce back and get bigger than you ever were before. For me, at least, every body composition is different, but that is how my body reacts to it. So if I'm not staying on a consistent basis one way, you'll see me completely the other way. I'm 0 to 100 no matter which way I'm going. So if I'm going to do it, I might as well continue to do it. And guess what? Like, if that's going to be a habit, because I do have an addictive personality, that's a damn good one for me to have.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, you know, I get my my wife hell all the time. You know, whenever we met, I was 180. That's where I hovered, was 180. Now, a little backstory. I was 18 when we got together. There is an age gap between us. So she always said, like, that's your kid weight. You know, you weren't growing exactly yet.
Yeah, she was 30 when you met her.
Nah, she wasn't that old. No, she used to be my babysitter. Nah, she was she's my substitute teacher. Anyways.
Fatherless problems.
Yeah. Nah, but I got a little bit bigger, you know, as I got older. I think a lot of it was like muscle mass and that kind of shit. You know, I started like working heavy and blue collar and that kind of thing. So I did put on a little bit of weight. But when I jumped real big was our first pregnancy.
Oh.
Because, man, like I said, I don't really care like what we eat. Most time I was, you know, back in line work days, I was working 12, 14 hours a day. So I'd come back to the camper. My wife would cook dinner. Whatever the fuck's on the table, I was going to eat.
Didn't matter.
I don't give a shit what it was. I don't care. She's like, I'm fried up damn pieces of shit. And I'm like, I'll try it.
You know some cat doo-doo.
Yeah. I mean,
ooh, yummy.
Yeah, what we got? What's up? We got fancy feast tonight.
That's right.
Give us salt and pepper. I'll fucking, yeah, I'll try it.
You got some ketchup?
Yeah, it don't matter to me. But whenever she got pregnant, she started having cravings. You know, like how all pregnant women do. And it was like the shit that I love to eat. It was like, I want fried fish and cheese grits. Let's go get fucking country fried steak and biscuits and gravy. And I'm like, fuck yeah, this is awesome.
Of course, that's your little spawn in there. Huh? I know. Craving all that same food.
Yeah, so fucking, our bellies were growing at the same size.
Simultaneously. You know
what I mean? Yeah. And then one day she just got to push hers out and it went away. And I was like, hold up, motherfucker. Like, who's going to get rid of mine?
That's, you know what right. I mean? That's right. You know what? There's a thing. I know we got to get to your update of the week, but, There's a thing that I've noticed. What happened for me, I can only notice what I go through usually, right? But for me, just like you said, when T was pregnant, the first pregnancy, I'd hovered around a certain weight, and I had just previously gotten out of a little bit of trouble, so I gotten out of jail, and I was real skinny. We find out she's pregnant, so it's a month, so I've been eating good for a month, and now it's a race, just like you said. You're simultaneously growing. Well, ours was not a simultaneously growing. I felt like ours was a race. She was like loving this food. And I'm like, oh, me too. So we go out and she orders something. Well, you know, I'm twice her size. So she need a plate of chicken fingers. I need two plates of chicken fingers. She needed, you know, and we're going and going and going. And just like you said, she had this baby. And man, I feel like she bounced back and was skinny in a week. And I was this same damn balloon that I'd turned myself into, and I had to go to war to get back just to normal size again. Now, that was with my girl. With my boy, somehow, I don't know how, I'd lost 50 or 60 pounds by the time he had came out. I don't know what it was. I will say for her, too, she couldn't eat a damn thing with him. With her, with my daughter, man, 8 gallons of damn milk a week, any kind of fried food, fast food. It wasn't ever weird. It wasn't like, I want pickles and vanilla ice cream. No, like I understand people have weird cravings. Hers were all the best ones. Like, yeah. It was like, oh my goodness, any craving I could have, you're having it. This is great. Yeah. So it was all of the best stuff in the world. And I got huge. And then with my boy, she was sick all the time, didn't want to eat nothing. So I'd gotten skinny. It kind of worked out for that one, you know, only for the size purpose. Because other than that, I will say it was a horrible ride when you spend a whole pregnancy sick versus just you want to eat $1,000 a week in food.
Yeah. It's funny you're talking about the crazy ass cravings or whatever. My wife, she never had any of the crazy cravings on both pregnancies, but right. I give her hell. So one day I was at work and she was like, I threw up, you know what I mean? It was just like the typical
morning sickness.
Morning. Oh, what? It was like midday.
They call it morning
sickness. Yeah, whatever, morning sickness. And I was like, well, what'd you eat? And all she had ate for the day, she was like, well, I had a peanut butter jelly and like fucking Sour Patch Kids or some shit.
But you thought she had mixed them?
I knew she didn't mix them, but like that's how what she had ate. She ate a peanut butter jelly sandwich, waited a couple hours, and ate Sour Patch Kids, you know, just mushing around. I was like, well, who the fuck eats peanut butter jelly and Sour Patch Kids? She's like, I didn't eat them together. So like she got real defensive, and I'm like, why would you even put them on the sandwich? Just fucking with her.
Now you know this.
Yeah.
So she's not like in on the joke. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's our little running joke is who the fuck eats like peanut butter and jelly and Sour Patch Kids.
Hey, listen, all jokes aside, there are some weird ass cravings of pickles and vanilla ice cream and da da da. Peanut butter and jelly and Sour Patch Kids actually do not sound horrible. I would probably try that.
That's you, dog. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like,
I'm super fucking picky anyway. Yes. There's a lot of shit I ain't going to eat.
Okay, but super pickiness aside, right? Like, if on a table there was pickles and ice cream, and on the table there was peanut butter and jelly with Sour Patch Kids.
I'd probably do the peanut butter jelly because I don't eat pickles, but.
Right, yeah. I mean, even if you did, that's still a weird combo. Oh, dude, I'm about to gross you out.
I've got to piss so fucking bad. I had to piss like 5 fucking minutes ago.
We're leaving this in. Hey, we're going to get some Depends so that you can just do the whole podcast. Please sponsor us, Depends. My cousin is pissing down his leg trying to make it to my bathroom. So for the sake of my carpet, my chair, and the rest of my hardwood floor in my house, can you please sponsor us? And I'll make sure we send a picture with Tristan Harlow in Depends. Man, I could do some infomercials. Come a chameleon. Yawn. We come and go. We come and go.
Come a chameleon. You come and go. You come and go.
We can get the urinal over there on the wall or something.
If you piss on my walls, brother, we're going to have a problem. Let me tell you right now.
I'll sit down.
Well, if you're sitting down to pee on my walls, it's not such a bad thing. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
That's proper etiquette. Anyways, thank you, Depends, for sponsoring. You could have.
Yeah, I know.
You could have kept it going. You could have just kept talking.
Yeah, I could have just.
You know what the craziest part is? If you wouldn't have splashed anywhere, my wife would have never known. Because my princess, we were having this conversation this morning. She takes full grown human pisses and shits. You would not know the difference if you came to change the litter, whether or not I had a kid sneak in here and piss in my litter boxes and poop in my litter boxes, or if a cat did. It's that big.
All right, so this is way off topic. I got to tell this.
Cat litters is not clearly.
So, one of our office assistants at work, right, in our department or whatever, she used to be a middle school teacher, and obviously we don't pay our teachers enough, so she had to leave, and now she's our office assistant. It's crazy to think that just a run-of-the-mill office assistant makes more than a teacher does.
Right, who had to go to school to become a teacher.
Yeah.
Where an office's assistant had to do nothing.
Right, it's just crazy of how that works out. Anyways, so she used to be a teacher, middle school teacher. She said there was a student that had moved to their new school or whatever. And she said that the family approached this school and said, hey, you know, my daughter is a cat. Is there any way possible that we can put a litter box in the corner of the classroom? And of course, school was like, fuck no. Like, what? And she was like, okay, well, is there one restroom that we could put a litter box in the stall? She just go to that one restroom. And they said no, like that's crazy. But like, come to think about it, what if they would have said yes? What if she could just walk up, take a shit in the middle of class? Like just, you know, we're talking about fractions today. She's over there just dropping a fucking deuce, like over there in a box. Like what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, are students allowed to pet it and treat it as a cat?
Yeah. Well,
can you pick it up and walk around with it?
She said her son was also at the same middle school, and he had an interaction with this cat girl. And she said something, and she fucking...
You make it sound like a superhero.
Yeah, well, she meowed at him, and he fucking barked at her, and he got in trouble over.
What if he was a dog?
Yeah.
He could have chased her and bit her.
My thing is, like, at school, like, she's a cat. She got our shots. She updated on her rabies. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah. It's just crazy that, like, as a parent, you would indulge that type of behavior.
Like I said, I'm not here to talk about the same stuff that we went over. As a matter of fact, my paper still flipped to our last week's podcast. So I'm not here to talk about any of that with the whole man versus woman versus. Nah. But listen, if you are going to tell your kid that they're a green highlighter, brother, let's get with the program just a little bit.
I think you're setting your child up for failure.
Yeah. You think? I don't know, man. I don't know.
It just drew so many questions to my mind because I'm like, obviously, if they're asking if the school to do that, she's got to be shitting in a box at the house.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, over there in a room, just 2 a.m. dropping deuces. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, cats have accidents. So is it okay, like, if your daughter pees on your floor? You good with that? You're
like, oh, I mean, she, like, scratch up the couch? I mean, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't beat animals, right? You shouldn't. I'm just saying there's a lot less punishment if you do. The same with if, right, because she's a cat. So you have to treat her as such. Well, cats run up in strangers' houses accidentally all the time. So if she just in somebody's house, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, no, I'm calling the police. Police going to get there and be like, oh, nope, that's a cat, ma'am. You're going to have to call the animal department. Like, no, this lady's going to get arrested for being a psycho. And guess what, parents? It's your fault because her whole life she was told she was allowed to be a cat. No.
I'm just saying, like, what? Okay, you guys go on vacation or you take her out to a store. She's got to use the restroom. Obviously, they ain't got litter boxes at damn Target. What do you do then?
You take her on vacation. I'll tell you what, cats aren't allowed on planes. I know that. She got to ride under.
That's my thing. It's like, all right, you got to get her watched. You call it babysitter or you got to board her ass?
Yeah, board her. Damn, if anything, that's crazy. Sleep in a kennel. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is psycho.
That's what I'm saying,
bro. The conversation is crazy.
But now, it's true shit.
It's true shit. And like, people are okay with this and people accept this. And like, when you just take it at face value, like she wants to be a cat and you leave it at that, it's like, well, let the girl be what she wants to be. But when you take a deep dive onto any part of the life that you have to fully accept that this person is a cat, no way. Logically, anybody who thinks about this for more than 0.2 seconds knows that you a psycho.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like the furry shit where like you put on the suit and like you pretend you a dog or whatever the fuck.
No,
like,
I get that. I do that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying like people do like Comic-Con, they dress up as superheroes. Yeah. I really don't see the difference in like the furry to the superhero Comic-Con.
Exactly.
Shit. You know what I'm saying? But like whenever you day in, day out, I am a cat. Once you start shitting in litter boxes, all right, you have crossed a fucking line, bro.
You know what's crazy? This is a dead ass serious conversation we are sitting here and having right now. And I just knew by when you started this whole conversation, this was going to have to wind up in a joke. And nope, this is real life, guys.
Yeah, this is a, yeah.
I thought we were just, this was going to be the nonsense segment. Nope, this is still a relative nonsense topic.
Yeah, this is fucking nonsense. You know, but it is true.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That is like, it's like I said, as much as you would be like, as you want to be like when they grow up, what a dumb person. And man, you should know better than that. But really, it's the parents' fault 100% because at that age, you're so impressionable. You believe what's around you. And you have to start having the hard conversations. Man, I don't know if you want to wait for a different segment to talk about this, but the hard conversations, speaking on this, is something that I wanted to talk about today. Before we get into that, I would like, I guess we need to wrap the my part of the week, which is the 400%, whatever. And what is your weekly update that you have, or do you have anything for your week?
I really ain't got too much, man. You know, I have went to a couple gun stores. You know, other than that, I'm on the search for a new carry pistol. They got a gun show this weekend in Tallahassee. But
you going?
I probably am, yeah.
Yeah. What day is it?
Saturday, Sunday. Okay. I'll be honest, they kind of suck here. It's not very good. Well, okay. They were good And then I was working in Miami, went to the Miami Gun Show, and Jesus Christ, they suck up here.
Yeah, well, that's different. That's being like, man, I've drove Toyotas my whole life, and they are really good cars. But then I bought a Lamborghini, and let me tell you, of course, there's just such a bigger population in Miami, too.
Oh, dude, it was insane. I walked in there and was like in fucking heaven. I was like, oh, this is fucking crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like really walking into like the gun store on Grand Theft Auto where you can just look at every single gun ever made.
Oh yeah, dude, it was insane.
I can only imagine.
Like I was like, I always look, I was like, what's the cover? Because usually they charge you a cover to kind of pay for it. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Why do I got to pay a cover to just go walk around and look at shit? I'll pay that goddamn cover any day at the Miami
gun store. I'll let you, boy.
I'll hop on a plane to go see that bitch shit.
She bad.
Yeah, but nah, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm looking for a new carry gun. If y'all got any suggestions, you know, pop them over in an email or something like that.
Yeah. Let your boy know what's up. Yeah, same for me. Like I said, you've always got your pistols and your stuff, but it's always nice to find something new. So I'd like to have me some too. So if you're looking out there and you see some, let me know because I'm looking to fully invest.
Give me your credit card, bro. I'll hook you
up. No, I'm giving you my debit card. My credit card got way too high interest.
Okay. I got you.
We'll just swipe it now. Get it done with.
Yeah. But nah, that's pretty much all I got, man. I ain't got a whole lot of nothing.
That's dope. So since we were talking about this exact instance, you know, it kind of goes back to kind of what we touch on and preach about a lot, right? About the tell your kids no and the this and that. Well, there's a certain imbalance, I think, of part of what has happened to us. Just like I said, when it comes to the lady, the child growing up, and now she's a lady and she believes she's a cat, and we see the lady as you're the problem. Yes, because she believed that. But as a kid, it's the parents' problem, right? Because kids are so impressionable. And I'll say that's the biggest problem with our older generation as well, because our older generation was great on so many levels for us. They were the hard workers. They, you know, so much determination, so many things of positive. And we're not here to talk about anything negative. Once again, just as an observation, right? The older generation, their biggest values, right? Seen, not heard. Don't tell them anything. You know, when you do that and you're the kind of people who are like, hey, listen, you're a child. You just sit back here and you listen. You don't say a word, nothing you said. And another big thing they do too is serious events happen in life. Okay. Those things are not said to those kids about those serious events because they're too young to hear about this. They don't need to hear about that. Well, what happens? What happens is you don't tell them because you think that's the right thing and you're sheltering your child or daughter, your son or daughter. Okay, well, let's fast forward. Schools are going to teach them about that, and they're going to teach them in the way that they want them to learn. So the biggest thing for me is, as an observation, that is something that I see. I love the way the old generation teaches. I love, you know, love nature, and there's so many positives in that generation. But something we have to start doing as the new generation for our children is having the tough conversations with our kids, the ones that you don't want to have, right? The ones that are a little bit embarrassing or, you know, like, how do I do this? Or a lot of times that is so tough to do, you almost don't do it in some cases. And then they don't learn until they learn the wrong way. And now they're completely left or completely right or completely this or completely that. And guess what? You had all this knowledge to share with them, but you didn't because you were worried that it would hurt them or you wanted to shelter them and you wanted them to learn for themselves. Teach them what you know because they can take from it what they take from it. But if you don't teach them and you allow someone else to teach them and none of your values align, that's your fault.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. The world's not a great place all the time.
Right.
So
we can all agree with that.
Right. But I feel like if you're going to shelter your child from it, you're doing them a disservice. They need to know about the real world dangers and hazards. I'll say we share a little cousin. I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about. She came to the age where she can start going out to clubs and bars and stuff like that.
Right.
She would come out with us, you know. Most time, you know, she wasn't 21, so she'd be DD for us. You know what I mean? I thought it was great. Well, then, you know, she got a little comfortable, da-da-da-da. She has friends. I'm going to go out with some friends. I'm like, all right, but be careful, you know, because there's a lot of fucking crazy. Now, also, Tallahassee is a college town, you know, so there's a lot of college students. They're, you know, my mom's ex-husband, he was actually on the police force. I've got some police buddies, da-da-da-da-da. There's a lot of, like, date rape and sexual was it sexual assault?
Yep.
Kind of stuff that goes on here. Especially with it being a college town, it's pretty high.
A lot of deeper and darker stuff. Like it, just like you said, you got family that's been in the force, or you know, ex family. I've got family in the same thing, and you know, child people snatching up kids, and that's a terrible thing going around here. Yeah,
there's a lot of bad shit that goes on. You know what I mean? You won't ever see it, but and I'm not saying that this is a horrible place. I think it happens everywhere, but you do need to be aware of it, especially if you're going to go out as a young woman with a group of other young women. You need to be aware. And she's like, that doesn't happen here. Yes, what? The fuck it does. Yeah, that's this conversation. I'm like, yes, it does. Don't think that you're isolated from these events. Don't think this only happens in big cities. It happens everywhere. But just the mindset of, well, that doesn't happen here is wild to me. That's always, I don't care if we're in BFE, you know, there's always, you know, you go out and you have the greatest buddy in the world. He can always turn on you. There's always that possibility. I'm not saying there's not. I'm not saying that everybody in the world is evil, but there are evil people out there, and you need to be aware of that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that was just, obviously, she's never been exposed to anything like that or whatever. Just didn't even think of it as a possibility.
You know, and I've learned so much in life, but I will say line work taught me something big, right? Doing power lines, you're going to be climbing stuff that's very high or up in bucket trucks that are very high, and you're going to be working on stuff that is very, very dangerous. Right. Here's the thing about that. Every single move you make can kill you, but there's so many more that you don't see that are a bigger factor. Okay. So the biggest point that everybody tells you in that job is do not fear it. Respect it. And that is the same exact thing that you have to take into account with life. You don't have to fear life. You have to respect life. And like I said, I'm not saying that the older generation is wrong and this is why it's wrong. No, I'm not like that about anything. I try not to be at all. There are certain things that I truly value and believe in, sure, but this is not one of them. You were taught a certain way, so you teach a certain way. I don't think the sheltered version works because of just that, right? Because when you are sheltered, you hear about these things and go, couldn't happen to me because my family never told me about that. Your family needs to tell you about all of that. As scary as it is and as hard as it is, you don't need to be scared of it. You need to respect it. So if the time comes, not when, but if the time comes where something dangerous pops off, you need to have some wits about you to know how to get out of that situation to the best of your ability. Because just thinking that it's not going to happen to me when it does, guess what? You're screwed, buddy.
Well, that's the thing. You say it's not when, it's if. I think it's different. I think it's not when, or it's not if, it's when. Because you're dangerous, and somebody who never does anything is dangerous, completely different. So it doesn't
Situations
matter.
Will arise. Yeah, I agree with you. Yep.
Right. So
yep. I just meant like you're not going to get kidnapped for sure. That's no.
But
problems will arise in which you need to have some sense of street smarts, let's call it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can be as smart as a whip on paper, but if you don't know people in your surroundings, you can end up in some very bad situations.
And I just think that's what a sheltered lifestyle does. I don't want to name anybody in particular either, but there is somebody who is very close to our family who is much older. Okay. And he has a certain group of values in which I believe in too. We align a lot in that way, but none of his children are this way at all in any way, shape, or form. He's older. So once again, it's seen, not heard. I'll tell you off here. But what he does is he tells them how they should live in the past. He told them exactly how they should live and then didn't do any of the things that he told them to do. Now, I get it, you know, because a bigger thing is that we say in the South and, you know, as an older generation is, don't do what I do, do what I say, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's wonderful. But this man is successful. Okay. And he preached and preached and preached and preached and preached to his children to go to college. Okay. So they went to college and he did too. I'm not saying he didn't do that, but he retired and he's very successful and college didn't help him at all. He could have not ever went to college and that would have changed nothing in the trajectory of his life. But he didn't tell his kids that. No, instead he told his kids, go to school. Well, they did, and then they dropped out. And like I said, they're not bad people. They're not this, they're not that, but they're also not ultra successful like he was either, because he didn't tell them exactly how his life went. He went, well, this is the right way, which I was told I should do it. So this is how you should do it. Now, fast forward, he's this, you know, almost 80-year-old man, very successful. And, you know, both of his kids, one of which are 40-something and still live with him. Great, great person. Like I said, neither here nor there. The thing is, I think if he would have expressed everything that happened in his life and told them exactly how it went down and gave them a blueprint of how his life was, they would be in a much different spot financially today versus my parents told me to go to school, so you should go to school. And one of his, which I thought was hilarious, I'll end it on this. We were talking, Charlie Kirk had just passed, so we were talking about it, and I said, you know, how do you feel about Charlie Kirk passing? And he said, one of the most awful things that's ever happened in this country, man. I will say, like, he was my hero. And as he was to a lot of people, a big thing that Charlie Kirk talked about is college is a scam. Yeah. So how life comes full circle for you to tell all of your family and your grandchildren and everybody else that, hey, you need to go to school or you're going to be dumb, and you didn't do it. And now your hero also, you know, went out basically saying, get your kids out of school because this ain't teaching them anything. And I had this talk with my wife and we were laughing about it. She said, well, you know, school was a different thing back then, and completely correct. It was a different thing back then than it is now. But I think it's always been the same precipice and the same principles of values. They haven't meant anything to anybody since day one.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Talking about the whole college doesn't teach you anything. It's a scam. Got a buddy I work with. He's got two daughters, raised them exactly the same. One is a little bit older, and she went off to college. She does not have a relationship with her family anymore because she feels like once she went out of college, she, I don't know what, it's like her major or anything, but she feels like her family are racist and that we have oppressed people, or they have oppressed people, and da 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 da. And she thinks that they're evil, horrible people. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm still your dad. No, that she won't talk to him, doesn't have a relationship with him.
Disowned him.
Nope, disowned him.
And loved him to death. He was probably daddy right before she went off to college, I'd imagine, huh?
Yeah, he was like, I paid for the shit. You know what I mean? I paid for her to be over there.
I paid for her to not like me.
Right.
And once again, that goes back to the, if you don't teach the kids, somebody's going to, man. And if you get the wrong set of pipes, you know, of wind pipes talking to these kids, listening to this with such a youthful, innocent mind, it's easy. Like, think about it. When you look at it from afar, as far as, you know, Muslim radicals who are blowing themselves up for their God, is like, how could you be so crazy? But if that's all you have ever been taught, then that's probably what you know. And if you go through your whole life not being really taught anything except what the school system teaches you, and not to say that all teachers are bad or all teachers are dumb, but let's not get it twisted. There's bad in everything. So if somebody is a teacher and they are very, very radical in what they believe in, they convince just one kid to do it. Well, here's a school shooter. And the parents, you look at the parents and go, horrible people. They tried not to be horrible. Actually, they were trying not to give them any set of values because they didn't want to, you know, put their impression on them and make them, oh, well, they're bad because of you. So we'll just do nothing. Oh, well, look what nothing gets you. Listen, if you have a set of values, teach them to your kids. Even if some aren't the best in the world, at least they get a set of beliefs to build their life on. They might not take every belief you have, but if you teach them nothing, you're letting anybody get full control of what their beliefs will be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I heard a statement said that reality doesn't matter. It's all about perception. So it doesn't matter what the right or the wrong is. It's how they perceive it. You know what I mean? So
correct.
Just any, you know, like college or this and that, even if you think you're not like smart or whatever to teach them in whatever you got, you know, values more of opinion based. But anyways, there's a lot of gray area in life, and really it comes down to perception. I could read a book and you could read a book and I think of it, it means this and you think it means that. It's all about perception, how well you can perceive that reality. But, you know, give kids your perspective of life. See how they go. You know, they can make their own. Like I said, I didn't say this. I'm going to say this. I don't know why I keep saying like I said. You know, I wouldn't say I agree with some of the values and perceptions that my mother has, but I understand where she came from on a lot of them, and I was able to make my opinions and how I feel about things off of that. And it's not like defiance or I just don't want to be her, but it's I have my own opinions about things, and I understand where you're coming from, but I perceive it a different way.
Correct.
You know, so don't think that you're just like creating little mindless monsters if you tell your kids how you feel. Because one thing my mother was big about was she didn't lie to me. I don't give a damn how old I was. If I asked a question, she'd give it to me straight. You know, like I say, I have a sheltered childhood. But no, she made the dangers of the world real in my eyes. She showed me, you know, like I said, her ex-husband was a cop. I saw it firsthand. We talked about it all the time. No, I didn't go out and party all the time, but I knew the dangers in the world. You know what right. I mean? I had sheltered from experiences, but I learned from, you know, other shit. So,
well, yeah. And then you still have experiences. Your experiences might not be live and in person, right?
Right. But you can learn from other people's
you experiences. You can. Yeah. Absolutely. You absolutely can. I'm a little worse about that. Like, I've always been the type that had to touch the fire to know it was hot because I'm a dummy.
Yeah.
But still, I learned so much by the time that I touched the fire. I knew what was going to happen, right? And I think that's the thing. I had the set of values put in me to know that that fire was going to be hot. And when you don't teach anybody a set of values, they touch the damn stove thinking that it feels like everything else. And when they get burned, it's truly because they had no idea. So if you give them no values and nothing to stand on, then they don't know when they jump into that damn fire. And like I said, whether your values are right or wrong, giving them something to believe in lets them know that the people around them believe in something, and then they look for something to believe in as well. Whether or not that's the same thing as you, just like you said, I think if you give them nothing, then it turns out that I'm never going to talk to you and I'm never going to this because you're the devil. Well, even if you have the best set of values in the world and just decided not to share those, I think, you know, that's just as bad is having all the wrong values and sharing them. Hell, maybe even worse. Because if you hear the wrong values, you might instinctually know that that's not right.
Yeah, it's almost like bad credit's better than no credit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to teach them everything that's good or good in whoever's eyes is looking in. But at least they have something to go upon. People, if you have somebody that has no values and they're trying to fit in, because that's human nature, you want to fit in.
For sure.
They're just going to be a bunch of followers, you know, breed leaders.
Yeah, breed leaders, absolutely. You know, breeding leaders is so cool. There's Matthew McConaughey, everybody knows, baby. All right, all right, all right. He was doing, I think it was in a Golden Globe or Emmy or something like that, right? And he was having a speech. And he had said that a teacher, I probably misquote this, but I remember what the story was, and I thought it was amazing. He had a guidance counselor, and they said, you know, he's about to graduate from high school. Who's your role model? And he goes, oh, that's a good question. You know, I never really had a role model. Give me a week, and let me think about that. So guidance counselor comes back in a week, says, okay, did you think about it? He goes, yes, I did. He goes, okay, who's your role model? He goes, my role model is me in 10 years. The guidance counselor's like, wow, I've never heard that before. That's pretty awesome. We'll fast forward 10 years, and Matthew McConaughey is Matthew McConaughey, right?
Yeah.
So he's famous. He's in all these movies. He's doing well. Guidance counselor reaches back out to him, kind of to congratulate him, and comes up on the same conversation they had. And he goes, man, how awesome is it for you to have wanted to be you in 10 years? And look at you now, man. So are you your own role model now? And Matthew McConaughey says,
Mama said,
alligator's armor because I got all them teeth. I'm not too rough. Matthew McConaughey goes, heck no, man. My role model's me in 10 years from now. So the moral of the story is like, role models are cool to have. You're Superman, you're this, you're that. But the coolest role model to have is the future you, because that keeps you chasing you. It also makes it to where you're not comparing yourself to anyone else, because comparison is the thief of joy, man. So try and be the best version of you. If you wake up and the only person that you are challenging is yourself, what a better outlook you have, because you're not self-conscious about what they think about me because I'm getting fat, or what they this because I'm doing that, or what they, it doesn't matter anymore. The only person that you are comparing yourself to is you. And yeah, sometimes you might go out and be unhappy with yourself, but you're unhappy with yourself because you know that you can be a better version of you. Not so that you can look, oh, damn, he looks better than me. No, I look worse than I should. That's how you should look at it if you're trying to lose weight, and that's the value of losing weight for you, you know?
No, I agree with that. You know, you got to compare yourself. At least I got to compare myself to me, because what the fuck are they? Another body in my class. You know what I mean? It's just me.
Amen.
I'm already above. I'm at the top. Who going to challenge me? Myself. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what I'm talking about, baby.
But no, it's definitely, like you said, if you start comparing your life to other people's lives, there's a lot of shit you don't see anyway. So like, it's never a good idea. You know, I've had, how do I bring this up? Being nice about it, I should say. Okay, so I'll just lay it out the best way I know how. I've had a lot of buddies, like, you know, line work, you travel, work, whatever. You get compensated pretty well. So I did not manage my, I make bad financial decisions. I bought shit I shouldn't have, toys, this, cybersides, guns. I mean, just fucking cool shit I wanted to do.
You name it.
You know what I mean? All right, I used to have a bunch of buddies come over and be like, man, must be nice. Like, and at first I was like, yeah, you know, it is nice. And then I started thinking, I was like, yeah, it's nice to be months away from my family, to work my dick in the dirt every fucking day, to miss my kids' first steps. It's nice that I don't get to spend the time that I'd like to and see the people I want to see, because I'm out here making a damn paycheck. So you really don't know what's going on. Yeah, you see, you know, I got cool shit, whatever. I don't get to enjoy the cool shit because I'm all the time working. So to say it's nice is wild. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going on in my life.
You pick your nice. You pick your hard. You pick your all of it.
Right. So yeah. Don't ever try to compare yourself to somebody else, man, because to be honest with you, they're probably going through shit that you know they're not open about or whatever.
Yeah, and you heard the old cliche thing, right? If you put your bucket of problems in with somebody else's, you'd pick yours right back up, right? Yeah. Because you know what your problems are, and you know how to face your problems head on. When you get this list of everybody else, it's just like, oh, yeah, your life ain't as great as I thought it was. You know what I mean? Just slide back over here. And that's the same with comparing anything, comparing your money, comparing to this, comparing to that. You're not at the same stage. You're at different stages. And guess what? Like, for me, I think there's times in my life, I just watched the Charlie Sheen documentary. Crazy. You should go check that out.
Yeah, no, me and wife, we were talking about watching that Charlie Sheen documentary thing. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, and it's insane. You know, it is so insane to look at. This man struck it gold by the time he was 21 years old. And guess what? He was partying and crazy like the rest of us. He just had unlimited funds to do so with.
He did.
Correct. So don't just think, man, I should be rich by now. I'm behind. Everything happens when it is time to happen. There is not a doubt about that. If I was 21 and I had $1 million, I wouldn't be here for sure. I made bad financial decisions. I made bad decisions on my body too, you know. I had a mix of.
A couple of years ago, we always used to say this, I'm talking about like winning the Powerball or anything. Like, what would you do? Bitch, I'd be dead in like 2 months. Like, why do you say that? It's like, first thing I'm buying, helicopter. Do I know how to fly a helicopter? No, but I watched a 5-minute YouTube video one day. I could figure it out. You know what I mean?
There it is.
I mean, I'd just be partying and buying dumb shit, and I'd probably crash the helicopter somewhere and die, you know? Correct. So, like, you probably don't need to give me $200 million.
You don't. Exactly. Even right now, like, as much as I think I could do much better with it than I did at 21, I don't think I could do with it what I'll do in 10 years with it either.
No, absolutely
not. So, you know, there's always a growing point and a point at which you should become and can become what you were supposed to. And anything before that can castrate you. Yeah. I mean, like I said, just thinking back on the Charlie Sheen, thinking about it, and I don't know if this exact clip will stay in here, but I was thinking something insane about it. It's not funny there, even though there were some parts that were hilarious. I'll tell you about one part, and that'll probably lead me to the other. So he was bad off on drugs. I don't know if you've seen any of his interviews, but this man was the party king.
No, so I don't really know Charlie Sheen that much. My wife was talking to me about it. She said, do you remember this? I'm like, no. Like I said, I'm also younger. I know Charlie Sheen from like
Two and a Half Men
and one little bit scary movie or whatever.
Yeah, okay. So like Charlie Sheen, his biggest one of his biggest is Two and a Half Men, but he got some really good roles too, Platoon, and he's got some stuff through life where have been monstrous roles and made him like shoved him to the biggest actor of all times, good movies. And the crazy part is like, if you're somebody who thinks of drugs as a bad thing, which they are, watching it shows you how bad it is, but it also shows you how quickly you can slip into it. It was like every time he messed up bad and went to rehab, before he could get out of rehab, he would have the next big movie in his lap to go do. So he'd be perfectly sober and do well for a couple of years, start doing terrible on drugs again, and then bam, get some a wonderful movie to blow him back up and make him super rich again. Well, this plays on and plays on and plays on. Okay. He gets to Two and a Half Men, and Two and a Half Men is not something where it's a movie and you can just go in and out of being bad to finish the movie and it's fine till the next movie. This is consistent. It doesn't stop. It's like a day job, you know? Like,
right. Yeah, you're filming all the time.
Yeah, it's an actor's version of a 9-to-5. So he gets real bad off on drugs, but it's doing so well that they can't lose him. And he keeps saying no because he just wants to go do his drugs and be left alone. But it gets to a point in which it's stupid. It's literally record-breaking. $2 million an episode for 2 seasons is what he got paid. And it was just because he kept saying no, and they kept going, we'll give you this. And he said it got comical at the end of it. So he didn't want any of it to begin with. Now he's just got all these extra money to do these extra drugs. He was doing 7 grams of crack at a time.
Of crack? Jesus Christ.
He was like, I was banging 7 gram rocks at a time. It was insane to watch his face. He said he's embarrassed to even watch it again now. Like, he's cool to see him 8 years sober, like, doing amazing. But to watch it was insanity. He would have strippers come over, and he would just give them fucking vehicles. They'd come over to sleep with him. He'd be like, oh, thank you. They'd leave with a brand new car every single time. He didn't care. He just had that kind of money. So how he got off, his crack dealer, who's in the documentary, is actually the one who got him off. He was doing so much, he was never going to get off of it. So without telling him, right, some of his buddies got with his crack dealer, who was also a really good friend of his. And what they did, what the crack dealer did, he makes the crack for him, is just started making him less and less and less and less over about a year, span of a year and a half. And he said, crack dealer goes, actually, I get quit doing crack because he just got tired of smoking bunk crack. I was like, no way. But here's the thing. When you hear Charlie Sheen talk about the whole thing, at the very end of it, the very end, all of the crazy stuff that he talks about doing sexually is what everybody started talking about. It's like, oh, he's having sex with men. So at the very end, he says that, you know, have you had sex with men and women? And he's like, yes, I've had sex with both. And they said, how did that make you feel? And he goes, amazing. A train didn't come through here and run me over when I said that. It feels like a big weight has been lifted off my shoulders. And then you look at it and you go, no way. Like, how bad it was that long ago for people to not be able to talk about having interest in men, being bisexual or gay or whatever it is, so bad that it leads you down a life of that. So I'm just here as an advocate to tell anybody who thinks they're gay, just come out and say it. You don't have to smoke 7 grams of crack at one time. Just tell people you're gay, bro. Like, it ain't that big a deal, dog.
No, I don't think you're anywhere really care.
don't let it get that much in your way. Like, and I know that's like, probably look, not bro, what I should take from it. Hey. That's what I took from this documentary, is this man had to smoke 100 pounds of crack because he was gay and thought that it was the end of the world. Got HIV, got all kinds of stuff, you know, and like, brother, it ain't that serious. Nobody was going to stop watching you because you like dudes.
We got kids shitting in litter boxes, bro. Who you decide to fuck, that nobody gives a shit, bro.
Matter of fact, Charlie Sheen, if you ever hear this, dog, please come on our podcast. We'd love to have you on here.
That's crazy. I think your drug dealer has got to be a stand-up guy.
He's a good man.
Yeah,
dude. He seemed like this big Hawaiian dude. Is it how he looked? You know, he might not have been Hawaiian. I don't know, but he looked like a big Hawaiian dude. I was like, man, he had some good people around him. Just to, like, his whole family talks about, like, you know, we just loved him through it. That's the biggest thing I can tell any of y'all, is we loved him through it. We saw how bad it was getting, and we just loved him unconditionally. He would call to say he's sorry, and we would tell him we do not care at all. We love you. That's all we want you to know, is we love you, right? And during times like that, man, there's not a lot you can say to people, you know? And I'll tell you this, like, because I have an addictive personality and I've, you know, I like, you know, marijuana and things like that. And it's for me, I don't think it's a disease, somebody being addicted to something. Like when people go, it's a disease, it's not their fault. It is your fault. It's your fault because you started.
Yeah.
Right. It's your fault. It's not your fault eventually when you're doing the things you have no idea you're doing. You're in a different mind state, the beginning is your fault. And I'll tell you, a lot of times it's scary, but it's just as good as advertised. And sometimes even better is how it feels to your body. And it ain't easy for somebody to do it one time and just go, oh, well, I'm never going to do that again. It might be the best feeling you've ever had. And you don't ever want to live life again without it. So good. Like, that's how good some of these powerful ass drugs feel, even though some people are like, how could you ever smoke crack? Because I wouldn't. But I wouldn't because I know how good something like that could make your entire life and body feel. It would also change everything about you because then you'd realize there's this unlocked portion that you can't get to, you know? So, you know, I'm just here to say stay away from crack and come out and say you're gay. Tristan, hey. Listen, everybody, come in. What do you call that?
Coming?
No, I was telling everybody to come in and like sit down up? Around you. Not a huddle.
Oh,
up.
Like
a intervention.
Like an intervention. Yeah.
Yep, this is your intervention.
Yeah, not mine. No, so
not mine. I ain't quitting crack or dick.
I worked with a dude one time. Somebody would get on the subject of crack. He goes, I won't ever do crack. That was like the only drug he said he would never do. He's done a bunch of other shit. And it's like, comparatively though, like, I don't know. I've never done any of the like hardcore shit, but I don't think as far as like the hardcore, the upper tier of like bad drugs, I don't think crack is at the top. You know what I mean? I think like maybe heroin or something like that would be a little worse. I don't know. I'm not familiar with it, but like, I know like you got crackheads and then like heroiners, junkies, right?
Right.
But dude was like, I will never do crack. Never, ever, ever. And we're like, why? Why are you so? And he goes, anything that's that good that'll make you suck a dick to get it, I don't want my fucking life. So he was hard at me. He is not going to smoke no damn crack.
Hey, that's real, bro. Like what I just said, that's a way funnier way to say it. But it is so true, dude. Like you got to understand that. Y'all, they look at people, not y'all or they or... But we as society look at people who do drugs and they're like, how could you ever? Well, it's because you were probably fucked up drunk one night and everybody thinks drinking's okay. And you were probably with somebody who was a little better looking than you thought you deserved. And you were probably easily influenced by this person. And this person was like, hey, you know, I'm doing some. Maybe you try a little bit with me. You know, bro, last thing I'll talk to you about.
I don't know what kind of women you hang out with, but there is no woman I've ever been around. It's like, hey, you want to hit a little bit of crack with me?
I haven't either. Not once. I'm only saying that because this was in the documentary too. Let me tell you how you got introduced to this shit, okay?
Okay.
And tell me that you couldn't, okay, or that you would never. So this guy who's done cocaine his whole life, him and Nicolas Cage, who is a huge cokehead, that was his party guy. Done cocaine his whole life. Well, he was on this sober run, okay? He invited a call girl over to his house. Well, actually, it was a friend who was at a guy's house, and he was, like, almost abusing her. So Charlie Sheen got this girl out of that bad situation. So they went to the house, went to sleep, no pressure whatsoever. They go to sleep, they wake up, and she is like, she pulls out, she's like, you mind if I'm needing my fix. You mind? He's like, no, not at all. I don't care at all. So she pulls out a pipe, and he's never done crack at this point. And she's like, do you want some? And he's like, oh, no, you know, I better not. I've never done it. And, you know, I've been doing good. And she's like, you know, smoking. She's like, okay. Then she starts to talk to him. She's like, you know, I don't want to make you, but this is the best feeling ever. And now she's starting to feel the effects of it. So she's starting to get naked. And she's like, okay, I want you to try this, but I'm going to give you the best experience of your life. So she does all the shit for him, packs it or whatever the fuck you do to smoke crack. I don't know. She does all the stuff for him. She puts it in his mouth and lights it for him. And at the same time goes down to give him a blowjob. So his introduction to his very first hit of crack was getting a BJ at the same time that he was taking his first hit. And he said, like, you couldn't understand the terror. If I would have known, I never would have ever, because I spent the next 10 years of my life chasing the first hit of crack with a blowjob. You just did this unattainable thing, and there you're hooked. Because you're, like I said, your whole body, it changed the makeup of you.
That's really poetic if you think about it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's like a full circle, because like eventually, if you smoke enough crack,
you will
transition to the guy giving the blowjob to get the crack.
How beautiful is that? Oh, man. How right was Lion King? It's the circle of life. That's probably what he's thinking.
He's never coming on the podcast now. When the
balls are hitting his chin.
Oh, God.
How poetic. That's pretty fucked up to say.
I'm just saying, bro.
Okay, so you know what? Maybe he wasn't gay before the crack.
There's a possibility.
Oh, shit.
Well, no.
That messes up my whole theory.
Dude, I think in his case, though, he had the money to finance the crack, so I don't think he ever had to suck the dick to get the crack. I think it's the broke crackhead you got to watch out for.
Okay. I didn't know.
What's
maybe,
that?
What if maybe sucking a dick unlocks the door to, like,
crack
penis?
No, I think it's the other way around.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, you know, sucking a dick might unlock the door to crack too. if you don't want to suck the dick.
Yeah, what is it? The don't be a menace to
society while drinking your juice in the hood.
Yeah, remember that dude? He's like, come on, man. I suck your dick.
cheeseburgers, yeah, man. Yeah. He said, what'd you say? Then he came back and zipped up his pants. Yeah. You know, he just got his dick.
Yeah.
So, you know what's funny about that? I know.
He had to be a crackhead, though.
You too white for this. But there's a movie called Menace to Society in which it's a parody, Don't Be a Menace to South Central is a parody to some of gangster movies. Okay. One of those movies is Menace to Society. And in Menace to Society, there's the same crackhead, the same scene where he goes, hey, man, he didn't say anything about cheeseburgers. I don't think. Maybe he does. Got these cheeseburgers, man. I got you. I suck your dick, man. He goes, what the fuck did you say? What'd you say? Blah, 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 and lays him down in the middle of the street. So it is hilarious that in the movie, instead of anything happening to this crackhead, like in the movie where he got shot down, he came back from behind with the zippers and the cheeseburgers. what a great movie. You know, you miss the classics.
I liked the movie. I thought it was pretty funny.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Menace Society is a good movie, too. But I don't think it has nothing to Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. I love how long the name is, too.
You know, but honestly,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think the moral of today is,
don't do crack. You might end up sucking dick.
That's right. Don't do crack unless you want to do dick.
Unless you're a closeted gay, then maybe you smoke crack and see where it takes you. Who knows?
Nah, I mean, for real though, like, all jokes aside, anything that you feel like you are in life besides for a cat, you should probably be able to tell people and not feel like you have to smoke crack about it. If you feel like you were a cat, you should probably try crack before you just full-fledged go, nope, I am a cat.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe crack will open you up. Maybe that's the one instance in which crack should be tried.
I don't believe in that interspecies mingling, you know what I'm saying?
Correct. Yeah. Ain't no bestiality going around in here.
Yeah, man. Nah, bro.
You keep your fucking peanut butter in the pantry. Think about that.
She's a cat. So, like, what if she has, damn, you know, she get a husband one day? Is that bestiality? Like, you get locked up for that shit. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not click $200.
All right. I got one more topic that I want to talk about.
Okay.
All right. I need your help. And I'm not talking to you. You know I don't need your fucking help. No, I'm just kidding. I need your help. By your help, I mean everybody, including you. My wonderful princess is coming of age, and she is almost in the double-digit years. Okay.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the cat, because you know you call the cat my princess.
No, I said on the show, yeah, she's my pretty princess. Pretty princess. No, my princess is coming of age. She's about to be in the double digits as far as how old she is. And we have not had the conversations. We're talking about tough conversations. So, you know, guys, I want to know. I want to have. I want y'all to have this because you know I don't want it to be too early, you know. But I want to do the right thing. I don't want anything to happen and you know it be too late. So she thinks Santa Claus is still real.
Maybe we should preface this with saying like a.
No, I like exactly how it all sounded to lead to this. Nope.
Like a like a PSA. If you got kids in the car, turn this shit off. That way, you know, if you lied into work, well, I guess you really would be listening to this with kids. I don't fucking know. But
plus, I didn't say. All I said was she thinks Santa's still real. Oh yeah,
right. No. If you got a kid listening, yeah. And you know, that's true. Like
if you got a kid listening right now, you're a piece of shit parent. Why are your kids? Listening
we're talking about sucking dick and crack. I hope your kids would be listening.
Why are kids listening to this? Yeah, PSA. There it is, right there.
Yeah.
Anyways, other than that, no. She still thinks that Santa Claus is real. I think she thinks. I know last year at Christmas she thought. I don't want her to go this Christmas without knowing that he's not. And, you know, like the Easter Bunny and all the things. I don't know if she knows because we haven't had the conversation. I wanted to tell her from the jump street. And my wife was like, no, do not ruin her childhood. Don't be like that. So, you know, we've always been at this impasse. But now it's getting to the year where it's like, all right, listen. She does have a younger brother. So I don't want her to tell him. But I don't want her to be, you know, 9, 10, playing with her friends after Christmas. And her friends are old enough now where some of them probably know that Santa's not real. And to go... Oh man, what'd your dad and mom get you? Oh, well, they got me this and Santa got me this. And they go, Santa, don't what? Now that could go one of two ways, right? Like it's either like, ah, ha ha, Santa's not real. We got you. Or it's like, your kid does not trust you now because you lied to them about something to their friends. And as funny as it is, it's serious too. Cause you know, you don't want to wait too late and be the person who's like, you know, basically where your daughter's upset with you because, or your son's upset with you because you made them feel dumb in front of their friends. And you also don't want to do it way too early where they're like, oh my God, nothing's real. You know? Yeah. So what's your predictions on this? What do you think?
Bro, she probably already knows. She goes to public school, dog.
I don't think she knows.
No?
I don't think she knows.
Well, she go on a nice side of town. When I went to public school, bro, it was like second grade, like it's different. First, second grade. Like, that motherfucker ain't real. He ain't bring me shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
it was young. We were young too, but not.
Yeah.
She living up here with the you know, higher class folks who get to wait a little longer to tell them Santa ain't real.
Yeah, upper class individual. I will say,
though, I'm not positive, but I don't think she knows.
I'll be honest with you, dude. If she doesn't know, you tell her. Even if you tell her, not tell your son, it's going to come out eventually. She's either gonna get mad or something like that. I'm like, you know what, motherfucker? Because that's like, as a kid, dude, that is earth fucking shattering. That is earth
shattering.
Oh my God, reality is, you know, like.
But the thing is, what if her friend tells her, right? And then still earth shattering to her. So she still does the same thing to her little brother. And now we're in the same predicament, except twice now. At least I had the chance to tell the one so the one could tell the other. And then I could be like, well, I kind of told her so she would tell you. Versus like, oh, yep, your friend told you.
Well, I kind of remember as a kid, you know, like they'd be like, Santa Claus ain't real. And I was like, I don't think so. I think he is real. You know what I mean? So like you don't fully believe and like your parents told you. You know what I mean? Like,
well, correct. Okay.
So like, but prolong of friends being like, no. And then it's like, all right, you know, actually, motherfucker, you're right. He ain't real. I know, like, my mom told me, I was probably about her age, you know? She was like, she was upset. Christmas is a big deal to my mom.
Okay, she was upset because you found out.
No. No, she was upset telling me.
Oh, okay, but she told
you. Like, there was tears before.
But she told you.
Yes.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Your daughter goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First off, just your general synopsis. You're not telling your kid until she finds out, is what I'm hearing, right?
No, I'll tell her.
You're going to tell her?
Yeah, I'm going to tell her.
How old? About now?
Yeah, probably about now.
Well, she's got a younger sister.
I'm also okay with that.
So am I.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, let her rip, Tatership. I'd sit them both down and be like, hey, it is what it is. I'm your pappy and the Santa pappy.
You know, yeah. Me, bitch, I put on a damn belly and a beard. But well, see, I got the belly, but I put on the beard.
But... Also, in our household, me and my wife already had this conversation about the difference between Santa Claus and other things. Santa Claus brings them like
presents.
Yes, but I don't want to say like bullshit, but like Santa Claus will never bring them like an iPad.
Yeah,
will never
happen. Here either.
That's going to come from me because I don't want them to go to school with underprivileged kids and be like, Santa Claus brought me a fucking horse. And he's like, I got socks. You know what I mean? Like fucking, like, why don't Santa Claus love me? So I never would have put that.
Santa Claus does not give my kids almost any presents unless they're like $2 presents. Santa Claus only gives my kids clothes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So like, honestly, if you tell them that Santa ain't real, I don't think it's going to be earth shattering. Because like you, the big gifts already come from you anyways. So it's like, oh, damn, won't get my socks this year. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
I'm going to tell her this year, I think. I want to ask you a question in a second. I think what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to wait till right before Christmas to tell her. Just so that, because here's the thing, right? When you find out Santa's not real, it's still earth shattering in a way, just because, oh man, now Christmas not real. Now I still want to show you that Christmas is real, even though the character of Christmas is not. So you'll still get the nice big Christmas. It, just these presents are from us, not from Santa. My question to you, though,
You tell her before or after Christmas Day?
Before, probably.
Really? I think it'd go both ways.
Yeah, I mean, either way.
What if she gets pissed off and then she's like, this ain't real, or you know, your son say something and then she's all mad and she's fucking, he ain't real. Which I mean, I guess if you're okay with it already.
Like I'm okay with it already, and I'd almost rather do it before, now that you put it like that, because if she's like, oh, I don't want to have nothing to do with this, well, I just saved a lot of money and we could take up back all that stuff.
That is true.
And Christmas is just what Christmas actually is, and that's about being with family, which is what I've preached from day one.
Yeah.
So my question is, we know we're gonna tell them when we want to tell them. Okay. But your daughter now is significantly less old than the age in which you would ever want her to find out.
Right.
So let's say she's just old enough to really start understanding and comprehending and knowing more. Okay. So let's say now she gets told that Santa's not real and she comes home. Okay. And she says, Daddy, is Santa real? What do you say?
No. I don't lie to my kids.
Amen. Me too.
I don't.
Right away.
Nope,
right away.
Sorry you had to find out, but I'm not gonna string you along and lie. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Me either. I don't lie to them about Jack. Like even if I'm doing something that I'm not that I don't want them to know that I'm doing, I'll try and beat around the bush, but I'm not gonna lie and go, I'm doing this. No, if I'm doing something, I'm not gonna say I'm doing something else. Right. Yeah. Period. And then if you find all the way out, then I'll just tell you. Okay, well, I didn't want to tell you, but tomorrow we're going to do this, so I'm doing this.
Yeah, I tell my kids straight how it is all the time. Like, dude, get out of our room. I'm trying to bang your mama. Not just playing. I won't lie. She comes straight and like, hey, is Santa Claus real? No, he's not. You know, I don't care. That's how my mama was to me. If I asked a question, I got a truthful, honest answer.
Yep.
And that's how I'm going to be.
And that's same as me. Right. Just like you said, from that, we can sum up this whole podcast, because literally, just like we practice what we preach, right? Like, we talk to our kids about these kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay. And just like you said, your mama's got a strong set of beliefs. My mama's got a strong set of beliefs. I don't believe in everything she believes in, just like you don't believe everything your mama believes in. But there are certain values that you take from people with beliefs. One of those is you don't lie to your kids. Look how well it's done for you. It's done really well for me. And I know that it's going to do well for our kids too. I hope that there's somebody out here listening to this podcast today who didn't think of it from this point of view, but understands exactly where we're coming from with this, because more people need to understand this. Preach what you believe to your kids, because your kids need to have a base, a foundation to start with beliefs. Don't let the damn beliefs come from the school system who doesn't care about your kids and is only trying to collect checks. Let them come from somebody who loves and gives a damn about the future of that kid. That is you, the parent. If y'all don't care about them, nobody's going to. Point blank, period. And I think on that, baby, just like every motherfucking single week we do this, we love you. We appreciate you. We wish we could stay longer, but you know, you're probably just about tired of hearing from our asses anyways. It has been a beautiful day, turned into a beautiful night. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for hanging out, baby. Good night.